We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
All right, back-to-back visits with Rob Ray, who joins us now on the West Her Hotline from maybe, Rob, the exact same location?
Exact same place.
How's that? I mean, L.A. and Anaheim are some distance apart, you know,
yeah,
the arenas.
About 40 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Are you guys right in between, or like what's
yeah.
the, yeah?
Well, we're in Anaheim, but it's 40 minutes. We leave at 3:30 today, and they'll have an escort right in, so you'll get there within 40, 45 minutes. So it makes it a lot easier than packing up last night and moving and then coming and then leaving out of there tonight to head to San Jose.
That makes sense, I guess.
So you guys have been living there since Monday.
So yeah, it's
nice state.
To take little roots here. Yeah. Kind of getting to know the town and what's around, and it's nice.
When did the escort start? Like when you were playing, did your bus trips have an escort?
Sometimes in playoffs, and that would be about it. But now, you know, every city has, you know, your NHL security guys, and they're all connected through the police and all that kind of thing. So it's kind of a, you know, it's something that they do for each other and set it up, and it's cool. We used it in New York a few times. We used it when we did the outdoor game there, a couple years ago in New York. So you get them periodically, but it makes a huge difference. You know, their lights going, and you're just, bus drivers humming, trying to keep up, and yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome for you.
You feel important for a while.
Yeah,
even though you're sitting at the back of the second bus, the farthest thing away from everything. But yeah,
right. How about if you're sitting in a car at the intersection, unable to go through because it's a hockey team driving by?
Yeah,
it's not exactly like the president or something.
It probably is. Yeah.
No. How about you just go? How about you just kind of wing it and leave a little earlier, like everybody else? No.
No. No, and then you get there too early. What are you going to do?
What do we all do?
Traffic, and you can't get there, and then the game's delayed.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't want that, I guess.
Can't throw off everyone's timing. They've got soccer to play before the game starts. They have to get the routine done.
I'm sure there's a righteous justification for the money
there
it costs
really
to have the escort for an NHL team.
It's an excellent justification why they do it.
The taxpayers all are happy to pay it.
Goalies got to get throw their racquetballs at the wall and catch them. They got all kinds of stuff they got to do.
Yeah.
Man, you guys are bitter today.
I can
maybe get you involved in one of these if you want, so you don't feel left out.
There's no bitterness. I'm simply dropping facts here. I think that's what guys want. They got to do their thing. They got to have a routine. That's it, man. I'm not, you know.
I'll accept the criticism. I'll accept the criticism. Maybe I am.
Oh, I thought you wanted to accept the opportunity to be a part of one.
Oh, no. I would feel bad about it. I'd be like, what are these poor people? Why do they have to wait? I wouldn't want it. I'll accept being called bitter.
Okay.
Let's talk about this hit that got fined. So we were talking about this last hour. Nick Ritchie of Anaheim with the hit on Sobotka. And he gets a $4,000 fine, and there's a limit to how much he can be fined because of what the penalty was, right?
Yep.
What did you think of that? All that, and I heard Jake McCabe talking about, you know, like all the lines about, you know, sticking up for each other and learning, you know, a lesson learned and all this kind of thing.
It's two guys hit each other in the corner, a little bit of an exchange, and then I thought it was kind of a weak move, jumping him and from the side and kind of, you know, wrestle him down. If you're upset about it, go over and grab onto it and start going at it like you're supposed to. But on our side, good to see Allmark get in there. He was the only one that actually threw a couple punches, so that was good to see. But you know, in that case right there, it should have been a total chaos for a minute because, you know, your guy was attacked and you know, you want to make sure that you're going to not only send a message here to the team you're playing in Anaheim, but across the league because everybody sees that. So, I think it would have been more important for everybody just to, at that point, just barrel on there and take your own piece of them instead of, you know, sitting back and waiting for the league to find them and you know, take a stance.
Did you think, with all that said, do you think that they got pushed around in this game last night?
I think they did a little bit. I thought they were a little hesitant. Yeah, there was some guys that, you know, tried to address things at times, but, you know, at what limits did it go to? It didn't really go to a limit of stopping it. You know, I said it at one point during the game, it's easy to stop. It's, you know, one guy, all he's got to do is go out and take a stand, and in most cases, it's over. But if a team feels they're going to be able to keep pushing and attacking, you know, your guys and you know, hitting and, you know, taking liberties, then they're going to keep doing it. So it only takes one person to address it, and I don't think they did that quite in the right way. But, you know, you really... I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I think a lot of the guys there know how to do it in some cases, too. So should they? Yeah. You know what? And if there's not one individual that can do that, then 18 is go and jump on whomever it may be and send that message.
I think what I would like to see, and I, you know, maybe it's something they've got to, you know, it's a new group. I mean, some of the faces are familiar, of course, but you know, there's a new dynamic when you've got whatever 4 or 5 new guys on a team. The most important thing I think you can do is keep playing your game. You know, like that's, you know, you score some goals. If they're going to take power play or take penalties and give you power plays, then, you know, keep going. And I couldn't tell watching on TV if the Sabres got off their game and slowed down and were, you know, I don't know, in some way timid because they were intimidated in the game. But if they were, I think you got to lose that. You know, there's a way to handle it like you did in your day that you're suggesting. And then there's also, I think, you know, in 2019, just play. You know, just I don't have to fight you. I'm gonna just beat you.
Yeah, but Chris, in the case when last night they took that part of the game away from them. You know, power play was, you know, it scored a goal, but what did it end up being? Like
1-6, yeah,
something like that. They had that in tune and figured out last night, so you couldn't gain any momentum or, you know, throw it back in their face by, you know, the power play because they took that game away. The Sabres last night, for the first time, were not able to play the game that they have played and wanted to play and dictate the play. They got dictated themselves, and they had to try to figure a way to get through it, and they had a hard time with it. Going in, Ralph talked about, this is the best defensive team that we've faced, blah, 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 before the game even started. You know, big guys, you know, D clear in the front of the net. Well, they had a hard time in all those areas. So, you know, you're going to be confronted with that, and you're going to be confronted with it more and more as the season goes on, so they got to figure a way to get through it. I don't think you just... What you're saying is 100% right. You go out and, okay, we'll hurt you in another way. But if you're not able to hurt them in that other way because they're shutting you down in that way as well, then you're in a bad spot. That was a tough night for them.
It looked for a while like they might run away with the game. I mean, the beginning was all Sabres.
Yeah, that Gibson was a rock star in the first period, Rob. Like, that game could have easily been 4-0. I mean, really, that's not an exaggeration. I mean, it's the kind of thing that's easy to say, but he made some really dynamite saves on some very difficult chances.
Yeah, and, you know, like, going in, I think they were second in the league, you know, in goals against, you know, like 1-6-7. So that's nothing for the amount of games they've played, and they've been on the road, and they played really, really good teams. So, you know, the goaltending has been good for them. So you knew that going in. That's why we talked about having to get the traffic and having to make it a little harder on them. But I don't think you did that enough. You had some opportunities that you didn't capitalize on. You had some, you know, times when you had empty nets. You had Gibson out. You had him caught on the far side and just could not put it in the net for whatever reason. And, you know, when that doesn't happen and then all of a sudden the other team gets momentum, it's a tough role to stop.
Yeah, Olofsson had him beat in the second on that breakaway. I mean, that he had that side, and I don't know if the puck rolled off his stick. I didn't get a good enough look at the replay, but he definitely beat Gibson to the far side of the net there on that backhand move, and he just missed the shot.
And Skinner in the first period had a wide open net, and the guy behind him just got enough of his stick that he just misfired on it, missed the net. But he had a whole net to put it in, or half the net to put it in, and normally it goes in, but it just wasn't happening then.
Yeah. The goal Jack scored, the first goal of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of play, like I tweeted last night, we've done this with a couple of plays he's made in his career here so far, where we will break it down frame by frame. Like, we'll spend like 20 minutes just going over every little thing about it, and that was one of those plays that had they won the game, I think we might have done that today. Them losing the game just sort of takes it off the table, but it does not change what a fantastic individual effort that was. I mean, he did a great job.
It was a little of everything. He used his speed, he used his power, he was aggressive, he blew through a check, you know, he used his power to get to the net, you know, keeping the puck protected on one hand, you know, totally taking Gibson out of the play. And so, yeah, there was like seven or eight things combined there that he did perfect, you know, to make that happen. So, hey, little things like that, you see them, you just like to see it, you know, sometimes not a little more often, but more consistent.
Right, that's the kind of play where, like, as great as Gibson played in the game, like, I'd give a goalie a pass on that play because he's got to be thinking, how the hell did you get here with control of the puck?
Yeah.
Right? There's just no way you're going to that spot, you know, and he did it. Just like, I'm going.
D coming back just didn't have enough leverage and power to stop him. Jack's so powerful when he's got his feet planted on the ice, and even when he's moving his feet, you know, pushing and using his edges. But he's learning to use the body more, you know, as leverage. You know, we always talked about Yarmo Yager and those guys just, you know, sticking out their big butts and using, you know, their body to protect the puck and get in areas. And that's exactly what he does, and he's done it quite often this year. You see him. So it's a little something he's adding to his repertoire now instead of just straight out, you know, dipsy-dangle speed and try to stick hand the end of the hole. So it's good to see.
Mm-hmm. Rob, have you thought that Dahlin should be playing more? Last night he got to 21 minutes, not on more shifts, just maybe he got stuck a couple times. You know, he's playing 17 to 18 minutes per game on the homestand. And I want to see that higher. It was even a little bit higher last year.
Yeah, but I think, Mike, right now he's having a little difficulty out there. Like, you saw it last night. I think it was their first goal. It was body positioning for him in front of the net. He tried to get in front of the guy and thinking that he was good there, but he should have come in from behind, lift the stick, and then there wasn't a redirection. I think there's a lot of little things where he's getting attacked and maybe just throwing the puck away a little bit too, that maybe they're seeing that and going, hey, maybe we better just work with this guy here a little bit and let him work through it before we start, you know, loading the minutes on. I would say it's more of a way of protecting him a little bit till he gets settled down, and then I would imagine the minutes will come after that.
It'll be really interesting to see moving forward. I thought Anaheim, we already talked about how the power play was one of six and the Sabres were kind of off their spots there. Anaheim really seemed to be aggressive, attacking who had the puck. And that's not like a completely, you know, unique concept. But we'll see if more teams try to do that and what the Sabres can do to counteract that, because they have been Jack on the left and Olsson on the right and Dahlin out top. I mean, that has been the lethal trio, really. And what Anaheim was doing yesterday was just attacking whichever one of the three of them had the puck and taking away their time and space. And that does leave them, you know, the defending team vulnerable in another area. You just got to find that vulnerability and exploit it. So
yeah, you know, going into last night, Dallas Eakin talked about your power play. Everything comes from the slot area, and you know, his decision to defend that was, he called it build a forest in the middle of the ice with legs and sticks. So Jack would have to make a perfect pass across to Olsson, you know, for it to be effective. So he was almost challenging him and forcing him to maybe take the puck to the top side and take that shot, or Jack take it himself, or look for Skinner in the middle of the ice. So I think they have options. I just I think a little bit of, sometimes when they're getting in trouble here this year is when maybe challenge and things aren't quite good, they start doing a little too much. And I think the whole success so far has come from just a simple game, you know, keeping it simple, doing everybody on the same page. But as soon as they're challenged a little bit or get down a little bit, they resort back to complicating it a little bit too much. And then it throws everybody out of sync again. So sticking with the game plan would hurt, help.
Mm-hmm. What do we think of the Kings?
You look at it and you look at their D, and it's kind of like if Drew Doughty's out, it's like, okay, who do you got on D here? Like, who are these guys? You're looking at your top line up front is two guys that, you know, have come back from the depths of, you know, obscurity in Brown and that. So it's going to be a similar thing. It's a team that always likes to come at you. They're going to skate you. I think the Sabres would like to get into that skating match and, you know, a back-and-forth thing, get into their little way of playing. But
not a playoff team, probably.
No. I would say out of this whole trip, this is by far the weakest game you're going to have.
And the Sabres won there easily last year. They had not beaten L.A.
I think it was the first of the 10 in a row.
Yeah, okay. It might have been.
That shut them out, maybe. 4-0?
Yeah. So, if this is the game to get them back on track if they can do it.
They had not beaten the Kings in L.A. in a long time.
Right, Skinner had a hat trick.
And then roll into San Jose, they've had a very good record there as well. So.
Right.
Yeah, they've won there a lot, even when their teams were really bad.
Yeah.
Tankier, they might have won there, getting outshot 50-6.
I just want to point out how meaningless all of this recent history is, because the Sabres had won 3 in a row in Anaheim before last night, too. That was something that you guys pointed out on the telecast last night. So, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, well.
Don't let that deter you, Rob. You were going to bring this up tonight, too, and you still should.
Hey, I've had a wonderful day today. I'm good.
Yeah.
What did you do?
That stuff bothered me. I got my foot massaged today.
Oh.
New little place, though. We switched hotels, and it kind of threw me off a little bit, but Dunleavy found a place yesterday, and he took me this morning, and I look, and I go, you sure about this place? And he goes, oh, yeah, I was here the other day. He walks in, and here's the lady sitting at the desk with her feet up on the desk and the chair sleeping, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then he took off, and I'm like, okay. So I'm stuck there by myself, and this lady started, you know, doing the foot massage and started telling me how cheap American men are. And they're too much into romance and cheap. And where she came from, if you didn't have money, you wouldn't have a girlfriend. And she said, next time you come here, this won't be here. It's going to be a place that melts fat off you. It's more money. No money in massage.
So they're changing the business model.
I had the angriest lady ever this morning.
That is, is not that I'm in this field, but it seems like that's the exact opposite disposition of someone you'd want touching you.
Yeah.
Like you would not really want to go there at that point. You want to get out of there.
No, I would never be back there.
Yeah.
Right. Like that
and
is what a sales
to run
pitch.
Into Dunleavy to say, what the heck did you get me into?
Right. Well, did you explain to her that you're not American, you're Canadian?
Yeah, I tried to.
I bet you did.
Tried to, but I don't know if it got across. But
all right.
This is not the first time the three of us have talked about foot massages.
Oh, it's the best thing ever.
I was telling you about a time where I was like uptight. We have a clip of it. We have an open with it where it's in there. Like I just couldn't relax for the masseuse. And you said something like, I'll rub my own feet.
Right.
I
think that was and it was like $400 and you were like, forget that. I'll rub my own feet.
Yeah, I'll rub my own feet for that price.
Well, wow. It sounds like Dan's the real bad guy here.
He's got a little bit of explaining to do. He's going to have a 40-minute bus ride to try to get out of this one.
All right. Well, at least you'll have an escort.
Yeah, we'll have an escort,
It won't be any longer than that. It'll be a tight 40 minutes. All right, well, this has been a pleasure again, Rob. We will see you next week.
Next week, Tuesday, right?
Yeah, they host the Sharks. They play the Sharks in San Jose Saturday night, and then Tuesday night back home against the Sharks.
Sharks on fire.
Right.
Kane's on fire.
He had a Hattie in the first period last night.
He had a hat trick last night in the first period.
Yeah.
And Marlowe is back.
Yeah.
And Carlson.
Great.
Lots to talk about with them. That'll be good. All right.
Super.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, guys. Take care.
Sorry, I want to apologize for going with Hattie there when I said that. I'm watching too much hockey with my kid, and it's just sort of seeping in. And I gotta act my age. I mean, Hattie.
That's a Hattie.
Sauce.
I mean, these are the modern terms.
Yeah,
Clapper.
Just listen. Let me read the Rob sponsor before you start with the clapper. All right. Rob's appearance brought to you by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
The clapper to me is that thing that you clap and your light turns off.
Right. Right.
Remember the song?
I don't remember the song.
Clap on.
Okay.
Clap off. Clap on, clap off, the clapper.
I don't get it. Yeah, no, I now remember it. Yeah, a clapper is a slapper.
Want to hear it again?
But yes, let's all sing. Joe, ready? On three. No.
Yeah, that is a classic, the clapper and the jingle. I think so. We will have the update next. I have gotten two questions from friends about a player that they're starting in fantasy football, and they want to know how I feel about it. And how I feel about it is, I can't believe you would start this player. But it's out there. I can't wait. I want to tell you this. I'm eager to tell you about this.
Okay.
That's coming up. We'll have John Clayton at 5, and then Evan Abrams from the Action Network. Before even John Clayton, we'll have our Taco Bell Throwback Thursday contest as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's a savvy vet. He's a lot more elusive than people think he is. He throws the ball down the field. He's not scared to lower his shoulder. He's just a hell of a player, honestly. He's dynamic. He can run a little bit, you know, and he's a playmaker, honestly.
Jordan Phillips on Ryan Fitzpatrick. There. How many... Don't everybody answer all at once out there, because we don't want like a power outage from all the people scrambling to urgently call us at once. How many of you out there are starting Duke Williams in fantasy football this week? Some of you are. A friend of mine texted me today, what do you think about Duke Williams over Stephon Diggs? I'm like, listen, here's my answer. I'll give you this in two parts. One is, I would never do it. Two is, it's your team.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to tell him not to do it, but like, that's not a move I would make. Now, you guys tell me, like, what do you expect from Duke Williams here? What is Duke Williams to you? I mean, is he going to lead the Bills in receiving or something?
No. I don't think so. No.
If I knew that he were, I still wouldn't start him over Stephon Diggs.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's. I might agree with that.
In this game.
Yeah, right. I don't know. He caught 4 passes for like 25 yards. Right? I mean, it's like, okay, good.
And a touchdown.
Yeah, right.
He had a tight ends week, like a tight end.
Yeah.
The tight end you have, unless you have one of the top guys, is probably going to catch 3 or 4 passes. If you get the touchdown, you're happy. If you don't, you're not.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't. I mean, it depends what you've got, but I would not in a million years put him in the lineup ahead of Stephon Diggs. I know they're playing the Dolphins, and the Bills, if they're ever going to score 40 points, like, this is the week for them to do that.
Or even 30.
Sure. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't, maybe you can tell by the tone of my voice and the breaths I'm taking. Like just slow down a little bit on Duke Williams, I think. Like, it's a nice story. I'm glad they put him on the roster. Really, I'm more glad that they moved on from Zay Jones. They could have replaced Zay Jones with Robert Foster for all I care, and I would have been happy. You know, Williams, he did catch the balls that were thrown to him. So, good. But I don't know. I'm not expecting like 9 for 125 and 2 touchdowns or something from Duke Williams, which, you know, not to assume you're going to get that from Stephon Diggs, but I don't know. It's a little, It's a little early to be getting to that spot, for in my opinion. You know, we'll see. The guy. I mean, I understand on some level he's big, he's physical, he's gonna go up and high point the ball, and like he's gonna make plays. He made some plays that were like real highlight reel type catches in preseason. So, and he was a guy that people were intrigued by and rooting for because he was so good in last year in the CFL. I don't know. I'm not too. He's a can't miss. Like, we found our guy. You know, I did last week when you were away on Thursday and Friday. I don't know, one of the days, well, both the days we touched on it, and one of the days we spent more time on it than the other, I don't remember which, talking about, you know, trade ideas. You know, it's the bye week, like, let's take stock. And I got a lot of feedback on Twitter, more so than on the air, like, no, I don't need to trade for a receiver, I've got Duke Williams. And I'm not really sure. So I'm not blindsided by people asking you about it, because I think he's already achieved a level of status amongst the fan base that I find kind of a curiosity. Because I don't think there's a lot of proof that it's going to be that great.
No, but to give the fans thinking that way, or fantasy players thinking that way, a little bit of a break on that, you know, I think a really good fantasy player gets to those guys first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know how it's going to turn out, but you are going to take the risk. And that's saying one thing. You know, before that, the thing that really that point applies to, though, is getting him on your roster, not necessarily putting him in your lineup. What do we know? Not a lot. There's a spot for him. What could happen? A lot could happen. Like, maybe he's really good.
Yeah, maybe.
But it isn't at a point yet. It's really more the team than the player for me. Like, mostly, they are throwing the ball, and I'm looking up projections for this week. Like, Sigmund Bloom, who we have on a lot from Football Guys, has Williams at 3 for 31. The projection is really going to reflect what you were saying, which is nothing has really happened yet. Maybe he just becomes a guy that gets a lot of action. Allen for this week. I'm starting Allen in a league for the first time ever. And that team has Murray and Prescott on it.
Mm.
But right, this particular format, it accentuates running and also big plays. And that's the one league where Allen was really like a high-ranking option at quarterback compared to most drafts. And I got there. A guy in the room sort of chided me for drafting him. It's like, I haven't heard you say anything nice about him. Now you're picking Josh Allen? Like, yeah. Unless I trade him first, I'll be starting him for the first time. And fantasy-wise, he was excellent, if he wasn't overall. Like, fantasy-wise, at least, he was excellent late last year.
Oh, for sure. And against the Dolphins, like, yeah, that was like that quintessentially, like that final game, he was a monster. I don't want to come off like I'm pessimistic about Duke Williams, you know, panning out or anything, but I just don't trade for AJ Green. I've got Duke Williams. Sounds like Kool-Aid to me. Like, just what? I would still try to make a trade for a receiver here, unless Duke Williams completely explodes in these 2 weeks, then fine. But four catches against Tennessee does not really get me there. Like, I would still want to trade for a proven, capable number one wideout if I could do it.
We'll see what happens with Green. Maybe he does get traded. It's been so long into the season, and he doesn't have a contract, and he's not even fully healthy yet. Maybe he's going slow because of the other thing.
Maybe, yeah. There was an update today I saw that said like there's still ways to go before he's ready to get on the field. So, you know, that's not very encouraging.
Yeah, he may want to get paid first. Like, that could still happen. That was something that came up in the summer as an idea, and it could still be that he gets traded. The deadline is 12 days away, and the Bills will be a team, as we've talked about it a little bit, where like it could make sense for them to trade a draft pick for something. Teams are doing that, and I don't know. Like, that's certainly going to be a topic, if it happens or not. It's certainly going to be a topic. They're a huge favorite this week. If they're 5-1 going into the game against Philadelphia, that's a pretty good matchup, pretty appealing. test for them. And then if they were to win that game, or even if they weren't, like, what's some glaring area that maybe a trade would address? Like, that'll be, or if there's an injury, that'll be a topic. Three in a row at home, as you probably know. Miami, and then Philly, and then Washington. Then it's at Cleveland, at Miami after that. I like the game tonight a lot, by the way. Kansas City at Denver, what happens there? Really intriguing with what's been happening to the Chiefs. And the Broncos have won a couple. They really should have beaten Chicago, too. So they're not terrible.
Jacksonville, they could have. They scored late to take the lead on Jacksonville, and Jacksonville drove right down on them too. So that, like, they had two games like that.
Where, that's right.
You know, they you know, easily could have won
both home games.
Yeah,
that's right. All right, Throwback Thursday coming up next here on WGR. Then John Clayton. Thursday at this time means Taco Bell Throwback Thursday trivia. You play on Twitter by tweeting at WGR550 the correct answer to the following question with the hashtag TacoBellTBT in the tweet. 6 years ago Sunday, we're told, the Bills played the Dolphins. Who was the Bills starting quarterback in that game? 6 years ago Sunday, so all what right. is that? October 19th, 2013. Was this a home game? No, this was a road game, wasn't it, Joe?
October 20th at Miami.
20th. That's right. I'm off by a day. 20th at Miami. I remember this game. I like this game. A lot of those, for me at least, Dolphin road games blend together.
Yeah.
In a way that maybe the Jet games don't for some reason. I don't know if I have to think about that. But a lot of those Dolphin games on the road are...
Yeah.
Tough to distinguish from each other.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know I already know the correct answer, and I'm not sure I can really pin down anything about this game.
I remember thinking it was a good win. Mario Williams might have blocked a kick or something at the end of this game. That sound right? Let me know when you have an answer. We can tell everybody who the quarterback was.
Yeah, right. There's a game there where he like the final gasp drive for Miami, he is a wrecking machine. And I think he causes a fumble and Kyle Williams recovers it.
Yeah, that's it.
Is this that game? Okay.
Two sacks and that force.
Then fumble. That's that game. There you go. I do remember it.
So he didn't block a kick? Someone else block a kick? We know the answer.
Okay.
We got the winner. So the answer is Thad Lewis.
Right. So that first responded through with that met those criteria there, tweeting at our station Twitter account along with the hashtag Taco Bell TBT gets a $25 gift card to Taco Bell. I don't remember a block kick in that, but I remember that sequence at the end where Mario was just like, okay, that's why we got this guy, basically. Like, that's what it felt like at the time.
Yes. Really tough trivia is which Dolphin scored two receiving touchdowns in that game.
Mark Duper.
I mean, it's just, I would just never get it my whole life.
Brian Hartline.
Bernie Parmalee.
Brandon Gibson.
Ah, he was with the Rams before he got to the Dolphins. I remember this player vaguely. I think that's right.
Okay, Brandon Gibson.
Former Ram.
No idea. Brandon Gibson.
Did we say
that's right.
Did we say the answer?
Thad Lewis.
You did. Okay, good. All right.
John Clayton coming up. John, on his show today, spent some time on the XFL. There's a Seattle team coming up in the XFL. Maybe that'll come up. I might want to ask him something about that. The Bills at 4-1, hosting a terrible Dolphin team, a huge favorite. Really interesting moment here for them. See if the Bills can just like be a good team and just, you know, flatten a team that likes the Dolphins. We'll get to John Clayton on the subject after this. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.